You are listening to City Lights. Today, film music contributor Dr. Scott Stewart is back in the studio, and we're tuning in to the music of the Emmy Awards, which were handed out in LA just a few weeks ago. Scott, welcome.
Hey, Aaron. It is great to be back. I know both of us have some of our favorite television shows, and the Emmys have been around for a long time to recognize achievement in television production and what they've recently added to their website, what they're calling emerging media. So it seems that they're acknowledging that online streaming is a real thing and that changing viewing habits of TV watchers are certainly shifting over to computer screens and tablets and phones and now watches. So the Emmy Awards are administered by these three different organizations. One is the Television Academy, and they deal mainly with primetime viewing. The National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, which most of us know, that's daytime viewing, soap operas, sports, news, and documentaries. And then, of course, all of the international viewing is handled through the International Academy of Television Arts and Sciences.
And this is recognized for 18,000 votes are cast across a broad range of categories.
That's right. And so it's a pretty big voting body. And if you go to Emmys.com, you can see all of the categories from producer and director and actor and actress and makeup and cinematography. And so the music category has five different subcategories. And those include two in the original dramatic score category. One is for kind of short shots, maybe a limited series or a movie or a special. And one is for a longer, more defined series that usually runs over 12 or 13 weeks. We also have categories in Best Music Direction, and that could be for maybe the conductor or music director of the Oscars or the Kennedy Center Honors. We have Best Main Title Theme, which goes across all of the categories, and then in the pop music area, Best Original Music and Lyrics.
So we often lump music for film, television, and video games into one category, but there are definitely some major differences, especially in turnaround time.
Right, and this is super caffeinated work. This is the only way I can imagine this. It's kind of like being in grad school all the time, where you're constantly rushing around. So a typical scenario, yes, I'll pass. The composer of a television series might receive what we call a rough cut. So we've got dialogue and sound effects, but no music, delivered now electronically. So let's say it's Wednesday. You have about 2 or 3 days to complete a score for a one-hour episode. Then you record with a little ensemble. Typically could be anywhere from 1 to 3 people. If it's smaller, maybe up to 10 or 12 in a studio. You send that recording over to the music editors on Sunday, and they have to air the show on Monday. You've got the next day off, and then the process repeats itself. It is insanely busy work that goes on for weeks and weeks, and that's just if you're working on one show. But a lot of composers, of course, are main composers for one series. Maybe they're the orchestrator for another 2 or 3 series, and they're just kind of cobbling together different paychecks from different directions. So it can be a very intense work environment.
That is intense. And a 2-hour feature film might have a turnaround. It might be around 90 minutes mm-hmm. of recorded mm-hmm. music, and a network TV show, 22 episodes, a cable TV show, about 13 mm-hmm. episodes. I mean, either way, there's a lot more music than in the movies.
Exactly. And, you know, whether you're being a very disciplined viewer and watching kind of your one show a week, yeah. or if you're in your jammies with a big bowl of popcorn and binge watching Friday night and all day Saturday, music becomes this unifying factor in tying together lots of disparate episodes that kind of are strung over a long period of time compared to a movie that might last for 2 hours. One of the pros to this entire operation is that with more episodes, you have more opportunities for character growth and development, for maybe some more plot twists and turns than you might be able to have. And the music, again, informs the listener and the viewer what's going on emotionally and in terms of the setting. So there's a little more wiggle room for creative music development over maybe, you know, these 13 or 14 hours of a season rather than just a single movie.
So you've brought us several Emmy nominees and winners to listen to. Where should we start?
Yeah, I thought it'd be a nice mix of both winners and just what people thought were really cool to listen to in these various areas of TV viewing. And so let's start in Mongolia. Netflix originally aired the series Marco Polo in December of 2014, and it's just been picked up for a second season this year. It has an astronomical budget, reported $90 million for the 10-episode first season. Unfortunately, it has been meeting with very negative reviews from critics. But the good news is, from our perspective, is that the soundtrack has fared very nicely. It's composed by an Italian composer who's based out in Los Angeles. His name is Daniele Lupi, L-U-P-P-I. And he's provided both the main title, for which this series was nominated, and the soundtrack music. So this is a little bit of Marco Polo by Daniele Lupi. The Marco Polo series is inspired by the early years of Marco Polo in the courts of Kublai Khan in 13th century Mongolia, which later would become Beijing. And this is such an evocative score. It has this interesting combination of what I would just call Asian elements. So maybe the eru, maybe the shakuhachi flute, maybe throat singing from Tibet. So not necessarily indicative of any one specific culture, but very Asian sounds, combined with a kind of 21st century dramatic pathos and clearly sets of 4, 8, 12, and 16 in the phrasing.
I still can't get over the reported $90 million budget for 10 episodes that...
And somehow I don't think that all went to the composer. Lots of costumes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. So Amazon Studios created a lovely original comedy drama series, Transparent, which revolves around a Los Angeles family and their lives after discovering that the father is transgender.
It's right. It's a really touching storyline. And also, I've been kind of interested in these new little terms that have arisen. The com-drom, you know, is the comedy drama. And now we have the rom-com, you know, the romantic comedy. So,
well, wasn't a dramedy, of
but
course.
The dramedy, that was the whole deal with Orange is the New Black.
Well, before that, Ally McBeal.
Correct. So categories are shifting before our very eyes. Transparent has been very successful and won the Golden Globe Award this year for Best Television Series. And this was Amazon's first big award for programming after Netflix had kind of swept the awards of the previous year. And the critics love it, audiences love it. This is music scored by Dustin O'Halloran. And the score itself, the main title music, is very sweet and simple and sentimental. In a way, this music reminds me of the soundtrack to Up by Michael Giacchino. It's just a lovely, sentimental tune, not too complicated. And the creator of this series, Jill Soloway, whose own father actually came out as transgender, brings us these universal themes of maybe marriages that aren't working out or difficult kids to raise, but also delicately takes us into the more unfamiliar territory of transgender transitions. I think the music reflects this both comfort level and also a little bit of risk-taking in the series.
It was definitely sweet and sentimental. Mm-hmm. You could hear that. So we'll travel out west now, literally and figuratively, with our old friend and colleague Bruce Broughton, who was nominated for an Emmy for the title music to HBO's miniseries Texas Rising.
Yeah, and Bruce has been very successful both in television and in movies. This series that he scored is the 5-part chronicle of the Texas Revolution, and this is where Bill Paxton is playing the part of Sam Houston.
Bill Paxton or Bill Pullman?
I think it's passed. Maybe
that's
that would actually be a better score. This was actually a team up, which is becoming more popular these days out in Hollywood. So Bruce Broughton combined forces with Hollywood composer John Debney to score the miniseries, and we clearly place ourselves firmly in the West.
Well, Scott, we have definitely gotten to know Bruce Broughton's film and concert music over the years, and certainly many will recognize his work on the movies of Silverado and Tombstone.
Yeah, he's so good at Westerns and is just a master of orchestration, always keeps listeners on their toes with the variety that he brings to us constantly. Here we have this great Western tune, super rhythmic drive with all those punchy rhythms, and that great snare drum in the background that is just evocative of all these old Westerns from the 1950s. The sound combined with all these great harmonies just shout out to us, this is a Western story.
Scott, you know that Lois writes us adores all things Scottish.
<does. laughs>
Don't get her started on Outlander. For those of us unfamiliar with Outlander, it's a time-traveling drama series based on the novels of Diana Gabaldon. And if that sounds ridiculous, it actually makes for a good show. It started on Stars and was recently acquired by Amazon Prime Instant Video.
Right. Again, emerging media, right? So Outlander has done really well in critical reviews and is in its second season right now. The soundtrack is by composer Bear McCreary, who you may know from his reboot soundtrack of Battlestar Galactica, and is currently assigned to that zombie-tacular hit, The Walking Dead, which is filmed right here in Georgia. And won an Emmy for his main title of Da Vinci's Demons. So he's once again received a nomination for Best Music in a Series for his work on Outlander, and clearly has some Scottishness about it. This particular track is from the episode Sassenach, and this, not unlike the Marco Polo title that we heard earlier, has a kind of deep gravitas about it. The Scottish pipes and the Celtic drums really entrench us in Scotland. These little vocals that we're hearing bring some of the magical murkiness of the Scottish moors and the time-traveling element of Outlander. Watch for more good stuff from Bear McCreary in the future. Really talented guy.
Definitely. Well, on to the next cue. Penny Dreadful is a British-American horror series created for Showtime. The title comes from Penny Dreadful's 19th century British fiction publications with sensational and often lurid subject matter.
That's right. A Penny Dreadful takes macabre to new heights. And so you have to kind of be into the horror slash suspense genre to really get into the show. I think it's a very smart series, really good acting and wonderful cinematography. The score is by Abel Korzeniowski, and he's a really talented Polish composer who studied with Krzysztof Penderecki, a very famous 20th century avant-garde composer. has won a number of prestigious awards recently and has provided some really interesting and a little bit out-of-the-box music for this series, Penny Dreadful. Cello solos seem to have been doing very well since Game of Thrones gave us that really cool opening. This is dark and energized music with that tinge of English melodrama, and I love that melancholic tune that's over all those churning strings. It's kind of like Downton Abbey meets Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It's really interesting to hear these trends catch on, like solo cello. Mm-hmm. You might see more, you might see more apocalyptic youth fiction, and mm-hmm. and along with that, the same trends come with music.
I'm very curious to see where this goes.
Yeah. All right, so last one, the BBC released a costume drama called The Paradise mm-hmm. in 2012 and 2013, and the series portrays the lives and drama swirling around the workers and customers in the first English department store around 1875. This is a very British story.
It is totally in line with all the post-Downton Abbey period dramas that we've been seeing. The Paradise features music of Maurizio Malagnini, and I love that we're getting so much international influence now in all the television writing. He's an Italian composer based in London, and he's written for drama and documentaries and animation. I find the Paradise soundtrack to be so enchanting and infectiously playful. Let's take a listen. Just hilarious. Great pizzicato strings, a little celeste, a little playfulness at the end, but it has that little quirkiness in it that says there's something going on here.
There's something off here. Well, Scott, I'm afraid that is all the time we had. Dr. Scott Stewart is our film, TV, and video game music commentator. He's also the host of WABE's seasonal program, Strike Up the Band, as well as the director of the Atlanta Youth Wind Symphony. Just had a concert last night at Kennesaw State. And music faculty at the Westminster Schools. I don't know how you find the time to be with us, but
I love it.
Okay.
We'll keep coming back.
We're glad. Well, you better, because you're coming back tomorrow.
We'll see you then.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Erin.